My whole life I spent trying to not be in my body. And so essentially drinking all the coffee or the Xanax or whatever it is a way to not be in the body. The harder choice is to stay. Stay in your body. Stay here right now. The easier thing is to find ways to try to float away.
You're listening to the Almost 30 podcast, hosted by Krista Williams and Lindsay Simsek. Almost 30 started as a conversation about the transition from our 20s to our 30s. But then we realized life is full of transitions. So we expanded our mission.
We are an intuition-led, wellness-focused lifestyle podcast that promises to deliver authentic conversations, diverse points of view, and insights rooted in optimism, growth, and intention. The Almost 30 Nation community is a group of purposeful dreamers who are smart, passionate, and always seeking the full potential in every aspect of their lives.
At Almost 30, we're making magic together. We dream it,
and then we do it.
Thanks so much for tuning into the Almost 30 podcast.
Here we go. Welcome.
Welcome back everybody. To Almost 30 podcast. There's a lot of podcasts out there, so thanks for choosing us to listen to.
Honestly,
today.
How do people like create a rotation that feels good to them?
They need to do something better about like filtering podcasts because it's just like, I wouldn't know where to start.
Truly.
You know, it has to be a recommendation nowadays because you can't just go on there and be like, and look at the health, like, what would you do? Look at the health charts?
I guess.
It's not like categorized very well.
I feel like it should be like a mood ring and they take your mood. And then like, if you're feeling like, sometimes I just want to listen to like murder stuff and I'll do a crime.
What is the deal with that? Where it's literally the target demographic for murder is between like 25 and 35 year old women.
I don't know.
We actually
had a
meeting with one of the networks that manage or represents the majority of the huge mm-hmm. murder podcast. Mm-hmm. And that's what they said.
Yeah. The crime, true crime is what they call it. I don't know. It's like it's an escape a little bit.
Yeah.
It's like, it is disturbing, but it's also like, I do like the drama of it. It's like watching like a fucked up show.
I mean, you know what I mean? Trash YouTube is for me.
Yeah, honestly.
It's funny because like the murder's too dark for me, but like trash YouTube isn't. Mm-hmm. It's darker. It's not dark. It's just kind of like dumb. Also, huge news. So I was looking at my Instagram for like the first time this week. Frankie and Joe's, which is a vegan ice cream in Seattle, followed me on Instagram.
Damn.
That's huge.
They're going to send you some stuff.
I hope. That's a huge follow.
Yeah, it's the best follow I've heard in a while.
It's the best follow, honestly. A vegan ice cream brand, the best ice cream brand in Seattle, just followed me on Instagram. Like what?
I just lost my apartment key and I went down to my, no, it's fine. I know where it is. And I just asked Alex, my
super
for a key. And I texted him, didn't answer. So I called him. I was like, hey, can I just have my key for like a day or whatever? And he's like, oh yeah, sure. No problem. And he like opens the door. He's shirtless again. And he's like stepping in the, he's like, oh, sorry. He's like, I'm getting in the shower. I was like, oh, I always catch it the weirdest times.
He drops his like towel. He's like, oh.
He's like fully spray tanned, ready to go. I was like, oh man.
I bet you he asked for abs.
100%.
He 100% asked for abs. So when you get spray tans, you can get
sweet
like,
man.
You know.
But it made me think because he always comments on my deliveries, like what I'm getting.
Oh God,
like,
shut the fuck
I'm
up.
Like, I mean, in a good way. He's just like, he like wants some of it. So yeah, I'll probably 100. Give it to him, like an eye cream or something.
Dude, I haven't had sweet anything man. Stolen in a while. And I think the person.
You left a note.
Yeah, I left a note to ask them to stop stealing. And the note's gone now. So the note's gone, but the packages have been fine.
Okay.
So we'll see.
Fingers I don't know. Crossed. I feel like they're just giving you a little lull.
I feel like they're giving me a little break. Nothing's been interesting to them lately. So I haven't been robbed in a little bit. It's been funny. I've actually had a lot of people reach out to me about my ayahuasca episode,
mm-hmm,
which I felt like was a really not that good episode that I did. I feel like it was really channeled and just conversational, but it didn't feel super powerful, like from me, I guess.
Well, I think it's weird for us because we're like, oh, we didn't have that like crazy experience that everyone
Jordan
says.
Jordan had the craziest experiences. Mm-hmm. Jordan Younger of Balanced Blonde, you can listen to her episodes. I was with her this weekend and yeah, I mean, she had crazy shit and I'm just like, I felt good.
Yeah.
I mean, but I think that's why we kind of felt weird sharing it. Cause it's like, yes, things happened and we had some like downloads afterwards, but I didn't, didn't feel super, super like profound to tell it out loud, but people were touched or like
felt intrigued. Justin and I went to Gentle Barn this weekend. He was talking about it with his coworkers and I've been talking about it for a long time. Even Sophie, when I saw Sophie, she was like, you keep talking about Gentle Barn. And I think I just like saying Gentle Barn.
It's such a sweet name.
It's like, say the word Gentle Barn, like a gentle barn. I love the word gentle and I love the word spooky. Those are like my favorite words.
Spooky's a good one.
Spooky's my favorite word. And because you can't just like not laugh and say spooky. Like something spooky, it's like hilarious. Like, oh, that's spooky. But Gentle Barn was amazing. So there's this place, it's in Santa Clarita in Los Angeles. It's like 40 minutes away from where we are. And I took Justin. Justin loves goats. So there's baby goats there. There's baby pigs. There's horses, there's cows, there's turkeys, there's emus. There's all these animals that have been neglected or abused. Mm. So a lot of them were in situations where they were once pets. You know, there's a bunch of horses there that were pets, or there was one horse that was in show business, or there was one horse that was used for labor or used for all these weird things. And they've been rescued by a Gentle Barn. So they have over 200 animals there and it's all like a sanctuary and a rescue. And it was crazy because there was two animals there, the goat and the cow, which I told you about, but I wanted to tell you guys. So the goat was honestly the size of a horse and the cow was by no exaggeration, the size of a rhinoceros. It was like the size of an elephant or a rhinoceros. And these animals had been genetically modified. So they were taken from, you know, the slaughterhouse floor where they would be killed normally and rescued by Gentle Barn. And they were the biggest things I've ever seen. They were so massive. Next to a normal size cow, it was the most shocking thing I've ever seen.
Oh, they must be.
I'll post the pictures of them in the group, in our secret Facebook group, just so you guys can see. But it was crazy because I've heard about this and I've known, especially with turkeys and chickens, how they genetically modify them so that they have more breast meat, because chicken breasts are, you know, the most valuable quote unquote part of the chicken. So they'll be so big that they can't stand, they'll fall over, they'll be very uncomfortable. They get to this massive size at such a young age. But for this cow, it was so big. It was terrifying. It was terrifying. It looked prehistoric and it has arthritis. It can't stand for long. Its knees bother it. Like, it was just so unsustainable and shocking. I was like,
so do they, when are they genetically modified? Like when they're young, they're being fed like growth hormone?
That too. So they, in the feed, they have growth hormones in the feed. And then also too, they do a lot with like the artificial insemination. So with all cows, for the most part, that are part of factory farming, they artificially inseminate them because immediately once the cow gives birth, they use the milk for dairy consumption.
Ah, okay.
So they're not really letting them, you know, mate, and then we need the milk for dairy consumption. So the cows are being taken away from their mother. They're not having their mother's milk. They're not able to like grow up by their mother. And then they do it genetically with like the DNA and artificial insemination. And they also do like with the feed.
Dude.
Crazy.
That is so crazy. It was, so like, how are they?
And the goat was like, it's a type of goat that's used for goat meat. So they make it genetically modified so that there is more meat on the goat.
Oh my God.
And then there was little turkeys running around and I was like, oh, where did this turkey get saved from? They're like, Thanksgiving.
Wow. As they do.
I know, honestly. But it's hard. I'm like, where do you stop? Because there's so many turkeys that need to be saved.
So do they rehab them or are they just giving them a safe place to like spend the rest of their life?
So they're allowed to stay for the rest of their lives and they get rehabbed through the process. So as an example, they will take a lot of kids from the inner city will come and a lot of special needs children will come. And there's actually horses there that help paraplegics through therapy. Mm-hmm. So my cousin who passed away last year, he had MS and he did horse therapy. So it's really, really good for certain muscles and certain parts of the body. So these animals that are being in therapy themselves with some of the people that work there to get better, to get more comfortable with humans, because a lot of them had been beaten, abused, all of these things, also turn around and provide therapy for other groups of people. Mm. So it's a place where people can go for school retreats and all of these things. But it was just such a beautiful place. And the woman there was so precious, like that owns it. You know, she just has loved animals her whole life and made this her mission.
Wow. And so it's a ticketed thing?
Yeah, I think it's like $30.
Yeah, cool.
So you can go on the weekends. It's like $30 or something. And then you can donate and feed the animals and all this stuff. And the kids there were so precious. I mean, if I have kids, I'm going to take them there every weekend.
It's like the best school is to like be in it. You know what I mean? Learn about the animals, be there, experience it. That's so sweet.
And there was like these little piglets that were there, the little piglets that were like the size of a bread loaf.
Oh,
they were like biting everyone.
Little ones?
Yeah. They were wild. Their little tails move so fast.
What's the thing about Whitney Cummings talks about this a lot where like teacup pigs don't exist because they're just not feeding them? I don't know what that is.
Oh, that's interesting. I don't know what she's talking about, but I'm guessing that teacup pigs are part of like another genetic modification.
Yeah, those little piglets you're saying were actual piglets.
Actual piglets that were going to grow up to be normal. So there was actually a pig there too that was saved because it was going to be slaughtered, and it actually like had problems moving because it was so big and so fat. So that's what they do too, is the food that they're giving it, everything that they're giving it is making it so big where it can't even move. And it just is laying around all day. It's crazy. There's so much to it. And these animals are just so precious and, you know, so loving. And it's just nice to be around animals.
Yes.
You know, I'm not ever around animals. I don't have a dog. I don't have a cat. But, you know, it's as therapeutic as nature is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Totally.
So it was cute. Justin got to see goats. He loves goats. So
that's so sweet.
You know.
Did you get photos of him and
so
goats?
Sweet. I think I do. I think he has some pictures of me and the piglets too that he sent over.
That is so sweet. So it was all about J-Baby this weekend.
It was a J-Baby weekend. We went to a nice dinner together. We worked together. And then we did a photo shoot. Mm-hmm. He was very sweet. He did a photo shoot with me. He'll do a photo shoot once a year, maybe. And I have to bribe him with a 25-minute head
So
rub.
He gifted that to you for his birthday?
Yes, he said, this is my birthday weekend. We're going on a photo shoot. But I had to give him a 25-minute head rub. I had to promise to watch Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And then I figured what else I had to do. I had to like let him eat cereal or something in bed. So he had to like bribe me with all these things to do a photo shoot for an hour in Malibu with a girl called Allison Hall. Mm-hmm. So her Instagram is Allison Hall Photo. And it was awesome. I mean, it was, you know, if you shoot for an hour, it's whatever.
Yeah.
Like any longer than that, it's like, oh my God. She was like, all right, now it's time for you to do a piggyback. And I was like, hey girl, I'm never doing a piggyback. And she thought I was kidding. And I was like, no, I'm being dead serious. I'm never jumping on his back. Like, honestly, no.
Oh my God.
Never.
She's like, how about a wheelbarrow?
Yeah, honestly. She's like, crab walk? And then she was like, all right, you guys hold hands and run towards me. I was like,
everything is so, every direction on a photo shoot is so dumb, but looks so good.
I know. But I'm flopping everywhere. Like I'm flipping and flopping when I'm running. I'm like, dude, this is why Lindsay does the athletic running shots. I don't. I don't do this. I'm flipping and flopping and I don't want to be like running.
It's a
big risk.
It's a moment. It's a capturing a moment, and they're not going to see the fact that you might trip over your boot. You know, they're just going to see.
I know. But I said no to the... Because Dan Justin, every time he'll like pick me up, he's always like, I'm like, got it.
That's the comfort after being together for
100%.
So long. You know?
100%. I mean, it's a zoo.
That's so, so fun. Guess who called me this weekend? You don't know. Jim from Rhythmia.
No way.
Yeah, Jim from Rhythmia. Because I haven't like caught up with
him.
So we mentioned Jim in, you know, not to break up ayahuasca again, because I'm sure y'all are sick of it, to be honest. But Jim was our friend that we made at Rhythmia. He started to go blind when he was 5. So he's blind now. And I wanted to hear about like his miracle that he had, because it wasn't the miracle that he had wished for. And it was just really sweet to catch up with him. We just adore him. I told him that we should get together in Chicago when we go, because he's awesome. And I asked him if I could share this. So he asked Mother Ayahuasca like or the miracle of like having a sight back. You know, obviously you want to go big and see if, you know, yeah, you can get that miracle. And I guess it was on the second or third night, he took the medicine and right away he felt it. And he was sitting down with my mother ayahuasca, like you're sitting in a living room across from her. And she said, "You're not going to get what you asked for. So I need you to take that in. And when you're over it, come back to me." And so he cried for like 2 hours. And he said like what it felt like was that he was crying for his, basically the lifetime that he spent so far, just, you know, wishing that he was another way. And so he cried and cried and it felt like forever. And then he came back to her and she said something like, "You know, you have so many gifts and so many talents and sight isn't one of them. So get over it and move on." And that was his miracle. And it like changed like his whole perspective on everything. How beautiful.
She's, Mother Ayahuasca is a badass.
Badass.
She's real direct, which I really enjoy.
Very direct.
Not with me, but with other people. And I really enjoy that.
But how like that moment and just to like shift the perspective that way is so powerful. Like to spend, because I mean, I cannot even imagine what he goes through and what he's been through. But then to have that feeling of like, I am so much more than the fact that I cannot see. Like just everyone else sees it and everyone else feels it when you're around Jim. But like for him to really embody that, I mean, that will change your fucking DNA.
100%.
It's crazy. So it was just so good. He says hi.
That made me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I didn't want to ask him. I didn't want to poke or prod, you know, because when people are asking like, "Oh, did you get your miracle?" It's like, did the answer to something that's most meaningful you get solved? So I didn't ask or press. And, you know, I figured it was something along that lines. I didn't know exactly what it was, but I'm thankful.
Yeah.
Thankful for that fact.
Yeah. He was so sweet. He's like, "Hey, Linz, if you ever need any guy advice, guy perspective, just let me know." He has a girlfriend and like all that. And I was telling him like, you know, I'm dating someone. He's like, "If you ever need advice, you know, male perspective, I'm here." And I was like, "I actually will probably take you up on that. Thank you."
Before we knew Jim had a girlfriend. We're like sitting next to him. We're like, "God, he's so amazing. We want to hook him up with like one of Almost 30 Nation." So we're sitting next to him and we're like talking and I'm writing this post on Almost 30 Chicago. I'm like, "Hey guys, I've got a great guy, like eligible bachelor, da, da, da." And did this long post about Jim. And then Lindsay's like, "Hey, do you have a girlfriend?" And he's like, "Yep." And I was like, "Delete." "Oh yeah, delete."
"Of course you do. Delete." Yeah. Sweetie pie, Jim. All right. Let's do a few announcements. I feel like we need to update people on what the hell is going on over here at Almost 30. We are on tour and we are actually doing an event in LA, June 20th. Tonight is our Denver event. So we've told you about that. It's going to be insane with Natalie Miles, but June 20th with Bree Melanson in Los Angeles. It's going to be a really special event. Breathwork, finding your soul's purpose. It's going to be really deep and amazing. And I can't wait to see everyone. And then we have our live show in San Francisco at the end of July at The Independent. Tickets are on sale now. Go to our website, almost30.com. almost30podcast.com/tour. And then our retreat.
Yeah, retreat's going to be sick. The live show is with Lacey Phillips. To Be Magnetic. I get DMs about Lacey's work every day. I get DMs about how impactful it has been 24/7. I feel like I am talking about Lacey all the time, which I enjoy and I love. And we are excited to do a live show with her. She doesn't speak often. So this is a rare opportunity at The Independent to get some time with the three of us. And then the retreat, July 9th through 12th at Calamigos Ranch in Malibu. It's going to be gorgeous. We have lots of self-care. We have lots of learnings about yourself and relationships and astrology and Reiki and sound baths and music. And it's just going to be a really beautiful time. So if there are tickets left, you can go to almost30podcast.com/retreat for that. It most likely will be sold out at the end of May with that. And then we also have Your Podcast Pro. So if you are interested to start a podcast, go to yourpodcastpro.com. You can start with the ebook, which is helpful as a general understanding of how podcasts work, how to get your podcast up on iTunes, how to grow your podcast, how to launch your podcast, all of those things. And then if you have a podcast, you can get all the templates to grow and monetize on your Podcast Pro as well. So this is a resource that Lindsay and I created when we were figuring out how to start our podcast. We didn't have the support, so we wanted to provide it to others.
Yeah, it's been so much fun to see you all who have participated thus far create your dream podcast. So proud of you. All right. Today on the podcast, we have Jennifer Pasteloff. Jen is an author, public speaker. She has incredible workshops. Her unique workshop on being human is a hybrid of yoga, related movement, writing, sharing out loud, letting snot fly out of your nose, all the things. She's just someone that I was introduced to recently by my friend Annie Sertich. And she's just magnetic. Like when you're around her, you have no choice but to be yourself. She is so herself. Jen started losing her hearing when she was very young and is legally deaf now. And she's just a beautiful example of, you know, putting it all out there. So the highs, the lows, the messiness, and really making people feel like they can navigate this life no matter what happens. So we were just really excited to sit down with her. Her new book on being human is out now. So you can get it anywhere books are sold.
Yeah, it's really awesome because in this book and in our conversation, we talk about those unexpectedly beautiful times in our life. So finding beauty in the times when you're waitressing and you don't want to, or you're an executive assistant and you don't want to be, or you're at a job that you don't fully love, or you're in a relationship that doesn't feel like it's quite it. This episode is really, really unpacking all of these experiences in our lives that are so important to creating a beautiful life we love, making us who we are, and finding the beauty in every moment.
Yeah. You can follow Jen on Instagram at Jen Pasteloff or on Facebook as well. And then she also is the creator of at No Bullshit Motherhood as well. It's a really fun, honest, raw community of mothers sharing and supporting one another. All right. So enjoy this episode. Join our secret Facebook group if you haven't already. Don't wait another moment. This community is so supportive, fun, hilarious, and they meet in real life as well. So we have our ambassadors all over the world. We have almost 80 ambassadors all over the world now, yeah, creating community where they are.
I think we just got Tokyo.
Tokyo, Singapore, New Zealand.
Montreal. Yeah, there's a lot of international ones that are popping up. So the way that the ambassador program works is that we have our almost 30 ambassadors, which are women that we connect with regularly, Lindsay, I, and Shara, who is our ambassador program leader. And we work with them to create and facilitate beautiful experiences in your community, like yoga classes, volunteer events, book clubs, just grabbing coffee, whatever it is. We really want you guys to feel supported in finding your group of women in your community that you can connect with. Mm-hmm. We know that growing and learning and, you know, this personal growth work is really challenging. So we want you to feel like you have people you can count on.
Yeah. It's been the light of what we've been doing and really is our like guiding light. It inspires everything that we do. So thank you for being a part of it. Share this episode with anyone and everyone who you think it'll resonate with. That means the world to us. And if you have a moment and you haven't yet, we would really, really appreciate a review on iTunes. It helps us get on amazing guests. It helps us to grow. So leave a review if you're called and we'll read one on the other side of this episode. See ya.
Hi, guys.
All right, here are the facts. Modern living, which is, you know, everyday anxieties, stressors, environmental, emotional, whatever it is, have caused an epidemic of imbalanced gut bacteria, which has led to a variety of negative health consequences from weight gain to digestive disorders to anxiety and depression. It is all so connected. And we've talked about this on the podcast, but sadly, most probiotic supplements don't do much to correct the problem for a lot of reasons. Very few probiotics on the market actually are capable of restoring a healthy gut microbiome. Why? Because probiotics must use the right amount of multifunctional pharmaceutical strains of spore-forming bacteria that are capable of surviving past the stomach to arrive alive in the intestinal tract. This is crucial, people. And that's why we use Sulfur Fern brand. Their probiotics are one of the few probiotics on the market that meet all of the important criteria. And a lot of people ask, like, why do I need to take a probiotic? I'm not sure. Everything from mood to energy levels to low fiber diets, high sugar diets, artificial sweeteners, overuse of antibiotics could all knock your gut off of being balanced. And so I use probiotics. I use digestive enzymes to help break down the food. I'm known to not really chew my food very well, but I am a big believer in digestive enzymes. And I also, from Silver Fern, as you guys know, love the Endurance Energy. It's a pre-workout of sorts, but it's not your typical pre-workout. There's so much goodness in there, good for you. It doesn't give you the jitteries. I really, really love it. So if you'd like to try Silver Fern, you can go to silverfernbrand.com and use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. So that is silverfernbrand.com. Use the code ALMOST30 for 20% off. When you go to, like, you're going to Pink tonight.
So,
oh yeah.
The thing about my hearing loss too is that it's also, I have really overly sensitive ears. So I'll keep my hearing aids in, but I'm going to put them on mute. So basically it's like my ears, I'll have earplugs in.
Got it. You control it on your phone?
Yes. That's why I pointed my phone.
That is wow. So cool. So what does that mean then, I guess? So your ears are overly sensitive.
So like loud noise, it's like... Like the concert, it would be too loud and it would perhaps damage my ears even more. So I have to keep them in, but just put them on mute.
Okay. What was the progression of that?
I don't know. I mean, my mom seems to remember that when I was a baby, when I was really small, they said, keep an eye on her. She might have hearing loss. I had chronic ear infections, like, every day of my life. And I always had the tinnitus, which I have ringing in my ears all the time.
Right now.
I never don't have it. It's the worst thing. I mean, it's really, it's maddening.
I can only imagine.
It's horrible. And so I have that on top of hearing loss. And as I get older, my hearing loss progressed more and more and the tinnitus got worse. So the hearing aids, they help drown out the tinnitus because they make everything else louder. So like if I have the hearing aids out, I can't hear. And even with them, I still have to read lips.
Right.
So yeah.
So this started since you were a baby, but did, so during when you had like the ear infections as a child.
I don't remember any hearing loss or anything because, and I talk about this in the book a lot. For a big thing for me too is denial. Yeah. So I made this really weird droning sound when I would color or draw or write. And people made fun of me. And as I got older, maybe when I was like 30, what I realized was I was mimicking the sound that was in my head. And then people made fun of me. So I never like discussed it with anyone. Does everyone have this in their head? And I was ashamed. And I don't remember hearing loss. What I remember is people always telling me, you don't pay attention. My whole life, teachers tell me I don't pay attention. Mm. And I always sat in the front and I was scared, you know? So I didn't want to face it. So,
did you get reprimanded or did you feel like
all the time? Pay attention, pay attention, pay attention.
And there was any concern from teachers or anything like
that? No, because I don't think anyone thought, you know? Wow. Now I know.
What was the moment where you got diagnosed or you figured it out?
Well, when I was about 22, when I was studying to be an actress, and that's when I really realized I was sitting in the class and I was like, oh my God, I cannot hear anything they're saying. So I'd sit in the front. I was so ashamed. I felt broken. I also was in denial. So it took so many years. My friends had an intervention with me. Maybe 6 years after that, I still didn't go to the audiologist. I finally went maybe 10 years ago and I couldn't afford hearing aids. So I finally went and that was really terrifying because it was what I already knew, but
yes.
It's so much easier to be in denial of something or ignore something, but you can't be when you have like a chart that says, no, you only hear X amount. And so I wrote a blog about it and about how I was always like, I would never wear hearing aids. And now I finally of course, would, but I couldn't afford them. And somebody got me a pair, donated me a pair. Those were my first pair. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. Someone that took my yoga class.
No way.
Mm-hmm.
So you were already kind of like within a community, like acting community, yoga community. Did you feel like it's almost like a silent shame? Because you do feel so supported when you're in those spaces.
Completely.
So when it finally came out, what was like the shift and how did that feel?
Well, this is the shift. That's still just happening now. Saturday, I was at my friend's birthday party downtown LA, and it was a big group, which I usually avoid because it's isolating for me because I can't hear, and then I feel stupid, and then I'll check out and just look on my phone, not because I'm being a snob, but because I can't hear, right? So, but on Saturday, there was a whole bunch of people I didn't know, and I just made an announcement. I said, by the way, you guys, I don't hear well and I read lips. And so if it seems like I'm not paying attention, it's not that. It's just, I can't hear. And everyone was so great. And I thought, this is just really recent that I'm able to do that. Right off the bat, I tell people, which gets exhausting.
Yeah.
Another reason that I sometimes like say no to everything and just want to sit by myself because I'm like, I'm just tired. I just want to wear a sign.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the shift was really letting go of shame. That doesn't mean that I don't get frustrated because I get so frustrated because I'm human. But the shame around it, I don't have anymore. And I don't know why I ever had it. Why? I mean, shame is so nonsensical sometimes.
It's the worst. And we all have it. I don't know if I've said this before, but when we were in Costa Rica on our trip, there was someone that progressively lost his sight through his life. And in Costa Rica, it was like an ayahuasca experience. So we did 4 days of it. But there was one time on the third day where he wasn't getting any answers that he was looking for. And everyone was in a room for one of the integration experiences. And the woman says, everyone stand up. So everyone stands up. She's like, everyone do this. And she's motioning.
Everyone do what?
Do this. Oh. And she's motioning dance moves. Mm-hmm. So she's, you know, motioning these dance moves. And he's standing there because he can't see the dance moves. So everyone starts the dancing and everyone's laughing and having fun. And then he's like, oh, you know, Lisa, the girl next to him, can you help him do these dance moves? And he felt like a child.
Yeah.
So he left the room because he was so upset because he was already having a hard week. And we talked to him after and it was just so frustrating for him to feel like he's not getting the answers. He's not a part of this. He's not seen.
Being babied.
Being babied. He's not, you know, he felt like a child. And
I literally feel like that. Almost
100%. It was just, I was like so emotional about it. And I still get emotional about it because it's something that I completely take for granted. I never have thought of in my life. The fact, you know, I've thought about, you know, people in different situations, of course, and being conscious, but like that exact situation of like feeling like you are powerless and you are a child and you are need to be explained or assisted is like exhausting.
Yeah. And you know, I'm working on an essay right now about how it's so easy to feel broken, you know, when you have some kind of disability and you're not, but it's so easy to feel that way. Like I talk about in the book a lot how when I was in yoga teacher training, the moment when I really stopped being in denial, we were learning about meditation. You know, it's philosophy, meditation, asana, the poses. And I said, Annie Carpenter, my beloved teacher, I said, I would panic when people say, close your eyes. I still do because I read lips. I rely on my vision. And so I, you know, I raised my hand. I said, Annie, I can't hear. I can't close my eyes because I can't hear. And she said, why? And it was the first time I think I said out loud because I have a profound hearing problem. And I was like this huge weight off my shoulder. But it's terrifying you feel so left out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I really have compassion for him. But the cool experience about that, Krista, is that you then, like you said, well, I didn't think about that before, but now you will.
100%.
And it really teaches us that everybody has something. Everybody is up against something. And so one of my goals in life, and I work on it every day from the way I am in the world, is to treat everyone with compassion because you don't know. So I come across as typical speech, I think.
Yeah.
Although sometimes people say like, oh, that's why your voice is like that. But typical speech or you know, I look quote unquote normal. Yes. And so people make assumptions like you're just an airhead or you're just rude or you're just whatever. So it's just such a good way to go, oh, we don't know.
Yeah.
And it also makes me think about like society and how, like you said, you couldn't afford hearing aids. Sorry. And, but the fact that that is not covered.
It's so
for people.
Disgusting.
Hearing aids aren't covered.
No, it is. If you're in law enforcement and government, I think.
So they say it's cosmetic.
Pardon?
What do they say? What is it classified as?
So the first pair somebody donated and they were used, they had belonged to a man who died and didn't really wear them. Great. They weren't that great. The ones I have now are, do you know how I got these? Another crowdfunding. Somebody started a GoFundMe and I was deathly ashamed and the money came like that. These were like, I want to say $8,500. Damn. And they're good. And now they're already old. They're like 3 years old. You know, the technology changes, but not covered by insurance, which is a travesty.
Which just adds to the shame of it, which adds to like not being able to...
Yeah, like you have to be rich.
In society, to be rich. You know, it's like, what is happening and how?
That's
you
the same know. With prosthetics. Like good prosthetics aren't covered.
I didn't know that.
I don't even know if it was even prosthetics are covered, but we had a conversation with Lauren Scruggs Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And her prosthetic, which is beautiful, is $20,000.
Yeah.
So for girls to have this, you know, to lose an arm, lose a leg, lose a body part, and to not be able to have something that they can feel the least bit normal in is heartbreaking. And what blows my mind is, the technology on, this is the only thing I'll say about it, the technology on hearing aids is a lot more complicated, but it's hopefully getting better. But the cost of that to create is not $8,000.
No. Oh, no.
And the same with the prosthetics. It's like, it's made of silicone, most likely.
No, they upsell you. Because I've met, in my travels, my workshops, I've met a bunch of audiologists and people who sell hearing aids. And they were like, girl, next time come to me. This is what they really cost. So I was like, shit.
But like, and why? People taking advantage of someone that needs something for their health. Oh, okay.
But and there's levels. Like there's cheaper. I could have gotten cheaper ones.
You should be able to hear.
Clearly. Yeah, no, these, and I'm really grateful. And, you know, a huge lesson for that, and I hope people listening really get, is that because I was successful, I was ashamed that I didn't just have $10,000 laying in the bank, right? Mm-hmm. So who does? I mean, I guess some people do. We're in LA. But I realized that asking for help and being able to receive it, being open to receive it, is the most life-changing thing there is. And it took me a while to get that, you know? So people did this thing for me that was so generous and I almost couldn't be with it. I was like, I can't look. And I didn't. It was so moving. All these strangers and people I'd worked with and done workshops for. But person I remember said, you shouldn't let people do that for you. It'll be bad for your image. And I had a moment where I was mortified. And again, that shame. And then I realized, well, what image? My whole brand is about being honest and telling the truth. And I thought, that's how we always end up shutting down, by listening to that person that says, you shouldn't do that, or it's bad for your image, or what will people think? You know, so yeah, they should be covered by insurance, but thank God that there's community and there's people that do things like crowdfunding and GoFundMe.
I know, I get anxiety even thinking about having to receive that. Like I get anxiety thinking about receiving in that way. So I can only imagine. I don't know. I just feel like I could never repay someone. Do you know what I mean? Like which isn't true. These are things I'm saying that aren't true. But I would feel like I would need to repay them in a way that I don't know if I could. Like that thank you would not be enough.
But it is. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, you know what I mean? It's like I would have to go to their house and like bring them something. You know, it's just like...
Yeah.
I guess it's a worthiness thing, not feeling like I'm worthy of that support or that.
Yeah, of course, that's what it is.
Yeah.
And what I call it in my book and everywhere, it's a bullshit story. And that's the thing, is I had to really like take a moment and be like, bullshit story. Yes, I accept it. And now I have these amazing hearing aids, but imagine if I hadn't. And a lot of people do. A lot of people listen to that bullshit story.
And I think it's a like a lack mentality for people that, and mm-hmm. and like, I feel the same way as Krista, where like I grew up with, like my dad would always be like, well, what do they want in return? You know, and it wasn't him being a bad person. It's like him just in the lack, like as if,
of course,
you know, if he received something, then someone would want something in return. So yeah, it's so much a part of how we grew up. Like what was your childhood like in that way? Like as it relates to,
I know,
literally.
Yeah, I want to get into the self-worth.
Tons of lack. I mean, everything, my mantra, you know, I started this thing called G-Power, You Are Enough, because the through line I see with everyone in my workshops is I'm not enough, people saying, or there isn't enough. And I grew up with that feeling. You know, my dad died when I was 8, single mom, and hustling. I mean, thank God I never felt like I wanted for anything, but always feeling like there's not enough. I was always in panic mode, and I always felt like the rug's about to be pulled out from under me. So I grew up in a land of lack, and so now I have to constantly remind myself that there's enough. There's enough. And that's programming, like what you're talking about, that thing your dad says, that's all programming, you know?
How did you reprogram?
Well, I do it every day. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't believe there's like no, a thing I'm really clear on is there's no like, I've reprogrammed myself and now I'm fine. Because you wake up the next day, and what I always say is that thing is back in bed with you, and you're like, but I kicked it out yesterday. So I do it every day. I work on the things I say to myself. I call them mind tattoos, you know? So like, instead of walking around saying I'm garbage or I'm a bad person, I say I'm enough. And I pay close attention to who I'm surrounding myself with, you know? So, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things. I don't think it's just one thing, but it really has to do with we repeat ourselves all day long with our thoughts, with the thoughts we're choosing to think. And the mantra I had for so long was fat, I'm not enough. I'm a bad person. There isn't enough. I'm broke. Right. And so it's just practice. I started working on that. And then really allowing to receive, because it's easy to self-sabotage when you believe you're not worth it or you don't have enough or there isn't enough.
And then your book, when were you like, because I feel like the book is something where you need to feel as if you're worthy enough to do.
Yeah, that's why it took me so long to write.
Yeah.
You're spot on. You couldn't be more right.
So what was that process like to get yourself to finally do it?
I've been writing for a long time and saying I was writing a book. Like if you go on Facebook memories, it's like, I'm writing a book. But I was writing essays and what have you. But I got really stuck with the idea of like, the book. What is it? So I finally decided, an agent found me, which is bananas. And I finally, an agent found me, and then I wrote a proposal, and we sold the book on proposal. And then I was like, oh shit, now I gotta really write a book. Because now someone paid me a bunch of money to write a book. That's when I panicked. But I did it. And it was like beautiful and hard and not as hard as I thought it would be. And it was everything.
Yeah. Wow.
But I sold it on proposal first. So
that's amazing.
Yeah, it is.
And what's the book about?
My life. It's my life, but also everyone's life. I mean, yeah. I hope. I don't want it just to be me. It's it's called On Being Human, a memoir of waking up, living real, and listening hard. So it's about being stuck for a really long time. The grief I felt from losing my dad at age 8 and never dealing with that, shoving it back in my body. And then becoming severely anorexic, like to where I almost died. And then going to NYU and then dropping out of school when I had a year left. And coming to LA and getting a summer job at the Newsroom Cafe, which turned into almost 14 years. And never going back to school. I'm really just thinking I was worthless. To finding a way out by becoming a yoga teacher and then doing these workshops that I do now all over the world and these retreats. But it was, you know, step by step. And antidepressants, let's not lie.
Yeah, for sure.
So I ran into a member of Almost 30 Nation the other day in the grocery store. We had such a good chat. I love meeting people in person. And she pulled out a bag of Skinny Dipped from her purse. It was the peanut butter, which is my favorite. And I asked her for a few of them. But she has it in her purse because it's her favorite snack. And she loves it for fiber and protein. And she's like, yeah, sometimes I just want like a little sweet something. But sometimes I'll have a handful before a workout. This is our hands down favorite snack. Skinny Dipped almonds, real ingredients, nothing scary in there. Insanely delicious. They figured it out. It's like the incredible women who founded Skinny Dipped, who we interviewed. So check out that one. But they like tested out all these different ways to just thinly coat the almond with chocolate because so many chocolate covered nuts, it's like too thick of a layer. And they figured it out. They dust it with peanut butter, cacao, espresso, raspberry. It's all really good for you. Super, super delicious. It's my favorite plain snack. Just FYI, if you're traveling, this is a really good one. So if you'd like to try Skinny Dipped, you can go to skinnydipped.com, S-K-I-N-N-Y, dipped.com. You can use our code ALMOST30 for 20% off your first order. So that's skinnydipped.com. Use our code ALMOST30, and you'll get 20% off. I've been getting a lot of questions lately about the health of my skin because, as many of you know, I deal with acne. So I've really found that the game changer, the secret sauce, is treating it from the inside out. And Hum Nutrition has helped me do that. So some of the things that I'm taking as it relates to my acne-prone skin, I'm taking the Daily Cleanse, which helps clear my skin. It helps to get rid of toxins in my body. It has organic algae, cleansing minerals, 15 detox herbs. It is a powerhouse of a supplement. I love it a lot. I also take OMG, Omega the Great, and this supports even skin tone as well as a healthy heart, brain, and body. And I also love the Skin Heroes Pre and Probiotic. It supports skin hydration, and this is really helping to get rid of acne on acne-prone skin, balances the gut microbiome, which a lot of you know is the source of so many issues if it is imbalanced. So I highly recommend these and so many others at humnutrition.com. You can go onto the website, take a quick quiz, and a certified nutritionist will recommend 3 to 5 supplements to get you started. We just love this brand. We trust them so much, and hundreds, if not thousands of you have told us that Hum Nutrition has really changed the game for you. So thank you so, so much for giving us that feedback because that means so, so much. Okay. I love you. Enjoy this. Our code is ALMOST30 on humnutrition.com for 15% off your first order. That's code ALMOST30 for 15% off at humnutrition.com.
How much of like the like inner conflict was because of you thinking your life was going to be a certain way and then it turned out different?
It's a great question.
It is a good question.
The tricky part for me is that two things. One, my dad died at age 38. So in my child brain, I was always, 38 is the age of death. And I always...
We've heard that so many times.
Yeah,
from really? Guests.
Yeah, yeah, we just heard that last week too.
Yeah, from Bia. Mm-hmm. My dad thinks the same thing. I think, yeah, that's like a young death of a parent is like this.
Well,
I don't know.
So, you know, I have a lot of compassion now for my younger self, but the last thing I ever said to my dad right before he died, and we were best friends, was, I hate you.
Okay.
So therein lies where that mantra of I'm a bad person came from. Mm. So I walked around that my whole life. So I didn't think I deserved a future. So it's a tricky question because I could never visualize. I just saw nothing. It wasn't like I saw myself dead. I just saw nothing. I could never envision 5 years into the future. So it wasn't so much like life turned out different. I just thought, I am a bad person and this is what I deserve. There's nothing wrong with waiting tables at all. I miss it. But I was not creating any art during that time or doing anything else. And I was so depressed. I mean, the fact that I'm sitting here is a miracle, really.
Mm-hmm. And did you go through therapy
after your dad or?
No, I wish. I mean, for like a minute. And then I was like, I'm okay. And my mom was like, okay. And she didn't know any better. She was 34, you know? So I never stuck with it.
And what was her healing process like? Like, how did you guys interact during that?
Really hard and terrible and complicated. And I blamed my mom's. My dad and I were best friends. And my mom, in my brain, it was like, my dad and I and my mom and my sister. So when he died, I resented her. And I felt like I had been left with the enemy. And I wish that she had been able to save him. And complicated, you know? And to make things more complicated, they were right about to get a divorce. And he died. So that's another level of confusion. Because, yeah, they wouldn't have stayed together.
Wow. What did depression look like for you?
And really bad anxiety. But depression is this flatness. So it's so hard to describe, you know. One of the things I know, and I've been going through it recently, I don't know if it's hormonal, but I don't want to get out of bed. It sounds like a cliche, but that's my thing, which is harder to pull up when you have a toddler. This flatness, like even smiling feels like a lot of work. Mm. And it's like, I feel nothing, just like a nothingness. I notice I don't brush my teeth. Like the whole day of past, I'm like, oh, I haven't brushed my teeth. It feels like a deadness inside. I can't say it feels like sadness, especially because I'm on antidepressants. It's like, it's not even like I cry. I have a hard time crying. Mm. Anxiety is more debilitating for me, way more debilitating. And that feels like panic. Like I can't focus. I pace. When I was younger, I used to pick my face really bad. Mm. I actually did it recently and posted it on Instagram and all these people messaged me like, I'm a picker too. But and they go hand in hand for me, but the anxiety is worse.
What helps the anxiety and people in your life that you're closest to love? Like how have you been able to communicate with them? Mm-hmm. What helps you?
Well, I'm really good at that because it's what I do for a living with these workshops all about listening and the On Being Human workshop. And also because it's what I teach people. So it's made me be like a more congruent person because this is what I teach and I'm good at communicating. But the problem is I don't always know what I need, you know, like, so when I'm in a spell and people go, what do you need? What can I do? I have no idea. Not a clue. Also a way that is a pretty human of me, but that I mess up is examples. I will drink like 7 pots of coffee. That exacerbates my anxiety. So I know when I don't do that, you know, so today I had one little French press pot instead of 3. I wish I was kidding.
Wow. Yeah.
I also noticed I was having really bad anxiety. And this is a confession that I haven't said out loud yet. So I was taking Xanax and I started taking it every night. And I noticed the depression got so bad. Mm. So I started asking some of my friends, my sister, do you think Xanax is making me depressed? She said, absolutely. So I stopped taking it. I can't tell you how different I feel. So like maybe for a one-off, but it was like every night. Okay. And so it helps when I don't self-medicate. Exercise. I do the elliptical and I watch my shows. And talking to people. I don't even necessarily mean like talking about like what's wrong, but just communicating so I'm not all in my head.
Mm. It's almost like the actions of the coffee and the anxiety are like the counter to the depression.
Yeah.
Where it's like the feeling nothing and then feeling too much, you know, with the anxiety. Like it's an interesting cycle that I know a lot of people go through and I know how you feel in a way. And it's funny when the 7 pots of coffee thing too, like so weird because you almost leave your body. You're like, yo, I know what the fuck I'm doing. And then you do it and you're like, oh, damn. But sometimes I feel like it's almost like you just want to feel something.
Totally.
You know, people just want to have a feeling, even if it's stress because it's something to do.
That's a good point.
Air quotes. Air quotes, something to do because our brains love something to do. They love finding a task to engage in. So I think that's, you know, really interesting that you were saying that
you
do that.
But you said a really good thing just now, which is, it's you're leaving your body.
100%.
So I lead these workshops with this author who did the foreword called Lydia Yuknovich, named Lydia Yuknovich, and it's called Writing in the Body. It's all about being in your body because my whole life I spent trying to not be in my body. And so essentially drinking all the coffee or the Xanax or whatever it is a way to not be in the body.
100.
Mm-hmm. And it's the harder choice is to stay. Stay in your body. Stay here right now. The easier thing is to find ways to try to float away. So yeah, it was, you really hit the nail on the head. Absolutely leaving your body.
Yeah. And I'm sure, so the eating disorder happened after your dad's death?
Yeah, maybe? And it didn't happen until I was 17. I was going to, with my mom, she was getting a breast reduction. And I said, I want a breast reduction. I had huge boobs. And the doctor looked at me and said, just lose 5 pounds. And but I had never, I mean, that was not in my consciousness. Dude. I was 17 and it was that moment. I lost 5 and then 10 and 20 and 25. I couldn't stop. I didn't get my period for 4 years. 4 years. I looked like a little boy. I looked sick. If people didn't say I looked sick, I would like have a panic attack. Oh. It's so disturbing now when I think about it. So, but yeah, it was a way to, I found a way to control, cliche, and to deal with my grief and to feel like I could deal with life, which is not true.
Wow. And so the turning points in your life, like, so you have the eating disorder, you lose your father, you're serving in LA, you've dropped out of school. What was the turning point moment where you had that connection to your soul, where you're like, okay, let's turn this around?
The truth?
Yeah.
Oh, I had a nervous breakdown at the restaurant. And I decided to go to therapy for the millionth time that I never stuck with. And the first thing he said to me was, you're depressed. You need antidepressants. And I thought he was an asshole because it was my first time meeting him. And I thought, you're going to just decide like that? And I talked to all my friends and I couldn't even get the words out. And they were like, yes, you should go on antidepressants. We've all thought that forever.
Yeah.
So it was the antidepressants. That is the truth. They saved my life. I saved my life, but they really did because they allowed me to sort of like crawl out of this hole to brush my teeth. And then all of a sudden I had been doing a ton of yoga and I didn't want to be a yoga teacher, but I thought maybe it would be an escape route from the restaurant. But I would not have had that even sense of possibility had I not gone on meds. So it was that. And then it was when I started writing again. And feeling connected with people. I started sharing my stuff online. Things would go viral. And that's dangerous too. You guys, I'm sure, know how it is. That feeling of like, oh my God, people like me. Mm-hmm. They're reading what I wrote. But it saved me. So I started writing more. And then I started getting more confident with the workshops I was doing. And it became less about yoga and more about just being a human being.
What has not being able to hear taught you about listening to people?
It's a great question too, as I'm like trying to maneuver to see your lips. Well, ironically, what I'm probably one of the most proud of, the things I'm most proud of is that people say to me, Jen, you're the best listener of anyone I know. And I just like, I dig the irony. Mm-hmm. So, and also I've made a career out of listening, says the deaf lady, you know, but it's taught me that I've learned to listen with my whole body. And
what does that mean?
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, I'm so deeply intuitive because I can't just rely on my ears. So, and I have to get them really close, you know, lip read. And so it's taught me how to listen better. Because I have to listen for clues and cues and intuition and what the body is saying, not just the words. Mm. It's taught me how to pay attention more fiercely. I feel like it's taught me how to listen with my heart. It's taught me how to not take things for granted, like we were talking about earlier, with thinking that I know what's going on with someone, you know, when we don't.
What's helpful for someone? So someone that meets someone, if I meet someone that is deaf or hard of hearing, like how could I help make things easier for you or be better for you too?
Well, don't put your hand in front of your mouth when you speak.
Oh.
No, not you. Actually, my audiologist has these things on the back of her business card and I took a handful of them and I thought it was like helpful hints for people. And just to clarify, I wasn't born deaf, you know, so the deaf culture with a capital D is totally different. And I'm just learning sign language now. So it's a different culture because I can hear a bit and because I read lips, but so not putting your hand in front of your mouth, speaking clearly, not mumbling, not talking when you're in the other room, which my husband forgets every day.
Bless.
Oh, not turning your back to the person. Really, really common sense things, but that people forget.
Or like when I came over to your place and I like walked up the stairs and I was like calling your name as I was walking up.
But you didn't, I don't know if you even knew then, you know? Maybe you did, but
I didn't.
People forget. Yeah.
I forgot.
But it's, I rely so much on lip reading. So it's, you know, the best thing is when I can see someone's lips and just, and I have to let go of judging myself because sometimes I feel weird. Like, are people going to think, why is she staring at my mouth and not my eyes? Mm. You know, because normally we look in someone's eyes and then I get all in my head and it's like, none of it matters.
Yeah. I've never felt that.
You said you, it's taught you to listen better with your heart.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, for anyone, just listening to anyone, like, how can we do that better? What does that feel like?
I think the biggest thing is letting go of what you think you know. Something that I think we all do sometimes is we have ideas about someone. Whereas like, I know how they are already. I know what, and we don't. And so we only half listening because we already have our mind made up, you know? So just being fully present with them, which is, you know, that word is so cliched and sort of overused now, just, but it's true. And so, you know, and I like the idea of getting in close, and I don't necessarily even mean geographically into someone's personal space, but just really like getting close and being willing to hear and listen rather than what you already have made up in your mind about the person or whatever the situation may be.
Yeah. And I think with the getting present, it's like we're hearing it more because we need it more than ever, you know, with a zillion things at our fingertips at all hours by our bed in the morning, noon and night, our phones. And then just the ways that things are going with the media and the world to distract us even more from everything. So, you know, the presence thing, and the presence is a practice. So it's like, one of those things that, yeah, it's like, it's like great being gratitude. People are like, oh, like gratitude.
Well, it's one of those words. Yep. That's what I'm saying. It becomes so overused that it loses its meaning.
But we need to hear it so many times. It's like, until you guys got it, until I got it, like I need to hear it 100 zillion times.
I agree. And it's like the thing I was saying about the bullshit story or your mantra that you repeat in your mind is that it's every single day. It's not like you're like, I'm present now.
Yeah,
for the rest of my life.
Yeah,
you got to wake up and do it again. It's a total practice.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Daily.
And something I actually think I heard it on Krista Tippett's podcast. This woman, forget her name. She was so lovely, but she was talking about it, and she said, "Just it's all about noticing." And so I say that word all day in my head: notice, mm-hmm. notice, notice.
Yep.
Notice.
Yep.
And that's how you stay present.
Yep.
I'd love to talk about motherhood.
Oh, lovely.
I know you have a 3-year-old.
No bullshit motherhood.
Yeah.
She's almost 3. And I was, you know, I also have a website called Don't Be an Asshole. And I was the Don't Be an Asshole lady. My best friend, Annie Sertich, and I, who you know, made it up one day. And I was, one of the videos I made was like, don't be an asshole and assume that every woman wants or can have a child. And I didn't think I was going to have kids. I didn't think I wanted. And so I was like, that person. So it's weird that I have a kid, but I do. And it's incredible and exhausting and fulfilling and the best thing I've ever done and the hardest. And I really, you know, this Instagram thing I have called No Bullshit Motherhood, I forget to post on it a lot because motherhood, but it's my favorite because it's a place to people to be real and not this idea of this Instagrammed or perfect bullshit idea of motherhood, yeah. You know, that's like glossed over because there's no such thing.
Breastfeeding at a resort with your like a fruit plate in front of you.
Wait, what?
I said like breastfeeding at a resort with like a fruit plate like in front of you, like the Instagram motherhood.
I like, mm-hmm. It's so, you know, it's... So I've started this thing. I don't know if you've seen it, where I was like, I'm an influencer. And I started this hashtag called Jen's fake influencer hacks. And so I was like, yeah, save money on a cleaning lady by living in a one bedroom apartment with your whole family. And what else? Like, save money on a babysitter by giving your child an iPad. You know, just all these like funny hacks, people going crazy for them. But these are really things I do, you know, that, you know, a lot of people are like, I don't give my kid any screen time. And I'm just like, really, okay, well, I do.
Yeah.
Well, I do.
Yeah.
So it's great, you know, and I travel for a living. So there's some guilt involved in trying to, you know, when I leave him and then trying to figure it all out. And, but I do, and I am, and we always figure it out, right? But it's incredible, and it's grounded me in a lot of ways, in every way, really.
Mm. And we were talking about Pink, who wrote a...
Love you, Pink.
Love her.
Love you.
So much.
We love you.
She's my hometown.
She is?
Yeah. And mine,
I used to sing at Odette's Pink. She sang at Odette's.
Philly in the house.
I just try to be her. She's amazing.
We're going tonight. Pink gave me 3 tickets to her concert. Mm. And so I'm bringing my friend Margot and her daughter, Isabel, who has Down syndrome. Mm. It's her birthday this week. And she is like the biggest Pink fan in the world. Oh. So it was such a thrill that I could tell her I'm bringing her. Oh my God. I know. I don't know if I've ever been more excited just for, not for me. I mean, love you, Pink, but for her, you know? So yeah, Pink blurred my book, which was so weirdly sweet. Incredible.
It's incredible.
She started following me on Instagram. That's how we met.
She's a mom. She's a
She's the coolest mom.
Really?
What does she
do? What do you know?
She's so no bullshit motherhood. She's like my no bullshit motherhood icon. She just doesn't give a fuck. You know, she's just a mom and she posts stuff and like the Instagram police, the parenting police come in and, you know, start bombarding her with all these, you know, you should do this and you should do that and your kids should have a shirt on and your kids should have a, and she's just like, oh, you know what? Kiss my ass. And she doesn't shut down, which I love.
Damn. Love that.
Yeah.
My level of don't give a fuckness is going to be all time high when I have a kid.
It's, you know, mine is. And I am really, really proud of that. And I didn't know. You don't know until until you have a kid or whatever the situation may be. I'm so proud of myself for that because, especially as a public figure, which sounds douchey, but, you know, people always want to tell you how it is or what to do. And I'm really like, this is how I'm doing it. Take it or leave it. Goodbye.
We'd love to introduce you to your new favorite leggings. Sweaty Betty's Power Leggings are our favorite leggings right now to work out in. Sweat wicking, quick drying, squat proof, which is important because, you know, we're doing a lot of squats. And best of all, it shapes your butt. These leggings will make you feel 100% and power you through your toughest workouts. So they're made with really high quality fabric and the most flattering seams that really lift the bum. So if you like look at the back of the legging, it's like a freaking art to how the seams will make your bum look just perfect. And they do it so, so well. At Sweaty Betty, they have an all-female design team, which we love. And their goal is to make women look and feel amazing, both during and outside of their workouts. And we went to London, actually, recently, wore Sweaty Betty the whole time in between events. We were doing a lot of walking around the city. We would go take classes every day. And I gotta say, I felt really confident. And I think that is the key when working out. You know, obviously the workout has to be great, but like when you feel good about yourself, I don't know, I'm able to jump a little higher, run a little farther. So if you'd like to try Sweaty Betty for 20% off full priced items, you can go to sweatybetty.com/podcast and use the code almost30 at checkout. So that's Sweaty Betty, SweatyBetty.com/podcast and use the code almost30 at checkout for 20% off. You know that we are huge For Sigmatic fans, so I'd love to tell you about 2 new products that I'm crushing on over at For Sigmatic. First is the Superfood Beauty Mix. Run and get these packets. They are single-serve packets, a powder that you mix with hot or cold water, and it's basically going to make you glow and hydrate you.
can you ask for anything more? They use the power of adaptogens and vitamins, and it's just super easy. You can throw them in your purse. I have like a billion in my purse. I use them throughout the day. It's caffeine free and vegan, and I love it so much. So check that out. And I also want you to check out their new superfood protein. It's organic, vegan, and gluten free. It's basically an organic plant-based protein with mushrooms and adaptogens, and it's easily shakable and sippable. So you can blend it into your favorite smoothie recipes. I like to mix it with some ice and my favorite nut milk, but this is great for helping to rebuild and repair muscle after a workout. So if you're looking for a new protein, I highly recommend. This is their superfood protein. As always, I just love you, Four Sigmatic. Shout out to you. You're a company that doesn't mind taking risks when it comes to your product and your brand. And you've just created an incredible community all over the world, which you know we love. So if you'd like to try Four Sigmatic, you can go to foursigmatic.com/almost30. That will take you to our landing page with some of our favorite products from Four Sigmatic, and then use the code ALMOST30 at checkout for 15% off your first order. So that's Four Sigmatic, foursigmatic.com/almost30, and then use the code ALMOST30 at checkout for 15% off your first order.
Yeah. And I always like, if I, you know, well-known moms or dads, it's like, if they're owning it, I'm in it. I'm like, cool. Even if I literally don't even think about whether I agree with it or not. If you're owning it, I am so in. So like, you know, but I can imagine that it's very hard not to listen to comments and opinions and what have you. But like, damn, if you're loving that kid, like that is, that's it.
Oh, for sure.
What is
that? For sure. I mean, I'll tell you what I'll never do though. I would never post about, vaccines.
I literally was going to say.
Or circumcision or any of that stuff. It's like opening a can of worms.
Is no wild.
Way. No.
Oh, I don't know who's on that.
I mean, no. But I will post, you know.
There are famous people talking about it though.
Yo, but what's everyone?
Yeah. No, I am. I vaccinated my son. There, I said it. But I am not an anti-vaxxer. But I'm not going to open up that, like, no.
Yeah.
But yeah, I post like, you know, I co-sleep. And I have a really... Who isn't weird? I just have a weird life and I'm really honest about it. And I think it lets people feel this sort of permission. Oh my God, this is what I get a lot, which makes me laugh. People go, thank you for showing how messy your house is. It makes me, I don't take it personally. Or thank you, Omega, your house is so crazy or so small. Or
People always say to me, they're like, can you tell me how you dress your body, like your curvy body or something like that? They'll be like, I'm so in awe of how you like dress your curvy body. And I'm like, I know, it's thank like, you. They're like, you're like a normal, you have a normal body. So can you tell me how you dress normal. It? Which is like so flattering and sweet and kind and I love it and I embrace it. But it's just like kind of funny. You know
how
what I mean?
People phrase things.
You're average. How do you do it?
Well, no, but what's interesting is the whole normal thing. Like when someone used to say to me, you look healthy, I would want to die. And actually somebody Instagrammed me yesterday. I was posting these pictures of me working out, doing weights because I just started and it's so healing.
Yeah. Weights is life.
Yeah. Because now when someone says you look strong, it's such a compliment as opposed to before where I'd want to jump up a bridge. Right. So somebody sent me a message, said you look healthy. And I had that tiny moment where I was like, what? I look healthy? What? And then we talked about it and I said, you know, the old anorexic brain has that response to that's a code for you look fat. But it's the same with that word normal. Yep. And it's such bullshit.
It's just funny too, because it's my vision or my, you know, and I've worked on that a lot. So now I don't really care as much, but someone else, it's a compliment to them. You know, they're being very kind and like,
of course,
complimentary. But if, you know, for someone it's almost like too, when someone's like, you look like this celebrity. For me, I'm not saying mine. They're like, you look like this celebrity. And they probably mean it as a compliment, but you're like, oh, that bitch has like a whack ass haircut. You know, whatever it is, but you're like, oh, fuck. And you like look for all the bad in them because you want to identify that bad.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
And it's this need to kind of like stand out or be a, not yeah, be above.
That's true.
Like,
bingo. No, that's it.
Be above, you know, but it's a subconscious thing. And yeah. I think social media like just feeds into that. So yeah. Like, you know, I mean, you being at Coachella recently, I mean, I'm sure you saw just like...
You don't even know.
The craziest
like,
you don't even know.
I don't even want to, like,
I don't even know what is attractive anymore, because I saw so many. I would literally see 20s and I was like, oh, whatever.
Because
I
saw 20s?
Yeah, like girls that were like
a 20 out of 10.
A 20 out of 10. Like, out of this fucking world. And I just was so desensitized to it because I was seeing so many 20s. It was a joke. That's why I didn't even
try. Wait, is that an expression?
It's 20? My expression.
No. Okay.
We have a sweatshirt coming out.
I'm just 20. 20. Yeah, 20 out of 10.
Oh.
Yeah, the desensitization is insane, but...
And being in LA, it's very hard.
Well, for sure. And that's why I feel like my small act of resistance is my hashtag real motherfucking life.
Yep.
And my fake influencer hacks. But this like, you know, I show my belly and I show my small apartment and I tell the truth. And it just feels like refreshing to myself.
Yes. I don't care if anyone else. Yo, that is refreshing to your soul when you're being fucking honest and real. That's that shit.
Yeah.
That is that shit. I get like high from that. If I'm being really real one time or being really open and honest, it's like scary, but really fucking good. Really good.
I mean, it's, I love it. I love all the curated stuff, really.
It's beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, not for everyone.
Well, it's beautiful if it's like, for me, if it's like food or something specifically, but if it's like someone's life who's, you know, pretending to be like, I'm so real. And it's, you know, they've taken 700 of the shots to make themselves crying look like they're really crying.
Yeah,
whatever. Literally. You know, or like, you know, fake eating or I just can't.
Yeah.
Are you nervous about the book coming out?
So nervous.
Meaning like, it's just all out there.
Yes. I'm excited. I'm nervous. You know, so there's a lot of buzz around my book. So there's just like feeling of expectation.
Yes.
And then, you know, I have no idea. This is my first rodeo, you know, my first book. And yeah, I'm terrified. I'm also terrified to be so naked and vulnerable. I mean, it's my life. And I'm terrified about being successful. You know, like, I'm terrified about how I'm going to make it work. I'm terrified that someone's going to tag me in a really crappy review and I'm going to see it because I'm avoiding reviews, you know, bad ones.
100%.
Yeah, but like... But lately so advanced copies have been going out and a couple of people have tagged me on Instagram in beautiful reviews, but my heart beats. I'm like, ah, and then it's like, what if someone writes a terrible one and tags me and I see it by accident and I think I'm just scared of the unknown, but I'm excited. So it's both at once. I'm so excited. I wish June 4th was sooner just because I'm like, oh my God, I'm really proud of myself too. You know, it's something I talked about doing for so long, and I finally did it.
That's huge. Mm. That's huge. I really appreciate the moment in time we are in history that, just thinking back to when I was growing up, reading your story and how you say it's messy. It's, you know what I mean? You dropped out of college, like you were a waitress, you had all these tragedies happen, and you were able to build this beautiful life. But I feel like when I was younger, I didn't have any examples to look up to that had a messy past. It was like, okay, she graduated from private school and then she went to Harvard. And then from there, she got her PhD. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of the people that we looked up to were unrealistic, were just like the perfect path people. And they kind of had this perfect life. Perfect path people.
Yeah.
I'm going to trademark that. And like now it's like appreciating the journey, appreciating the hard times, appreciating the difficulties that have led you to where you are. And that's one of the most beautiful things about where we're like the
I couldn't time agree more.
Living in today. Mm-hmm.
And it's also, you know, letting go of the shame about the hearing loss and talking about that and sort of normalizing that. It's like what Selma Blair is doing right now with her MS. And I'm
blessed.
Huge fan, if you're listening, Selma.
Chills, blessed.
It's inspiring because she has such a big platform and she's so well known, but to really just be honest about like, this is what's going on for me. And look, I'm still a person. And look, I have hard days. And look, I have okay days. And this is what it feels like. And this normalizing it, where all these things were hidden before. There's so many things, what you're talking about. There's so many things that are more talked about now.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know. You know, I watched it again over the weekend, her interview on Good Morning America.
Yeah.
And I felt so much like that this sharing, your sharing, her sharing, like is a huge part of the healing. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine her getting better alone.
No,
granted,
no one
she
does.
She has her family and close friends, but like, I just can't imagine because there's a certain energy that comes
for you to kind of carry you a certain distance when you are so vulnerable and able to share. Like, I just think.
Yeah, you're right. So if you don't, if she hadn't shared that, you know, maybe she'd have like two people, but now she's like this whole entire internet and world. And it's incredible. Mm. It's incredible to put yourself out there. And of course, you're going to be met with some assholes because that's life. But to be offered help and support and me too, and knowing and kindness and empathy and, you know, chicken soup, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm really working on too, and this is fresh thoughts, but trying to understand how to place my emotions in that situation. So example, Selma Blair, I see her, you know, speaking and I get emotional and I feel so sad and upset, but I don't know if that's productive for people. So, you know, and like the other day when we were at Coachella, we had a driver with a car and he was telling us he had all these dreams and like to build surfboards and the surfboard shop burned down. He was telling us these stories and for 2 hours at Coachella, I'm literally like crying because our driver had a hard time in his life.
I think that's so beautiful.
But me and Justin are sitting there. We're literally like so upset about our driver for 2 hours at Coachella. I'm like, I don't know. And I agree. And I am grateful that I have compassion. I have a heart, but I just don't know if sometimes my emotional energy is best spent feeling bad for someone not feeling bad for someone. It's having compassion 100%. And I always want to have a heart. I always want to be emotional. But sometimes I'm like, should I be uplifting them? Should I be sending them positivity?
Mm. Can I tell you what my quote?
Yeah.
Should is an asshole.
Yeah.
For real. So it's not that you're feeling bad for him. You're feeling empathy. That's what I'm guessing. I don't think you're pitying him.
Yeah.
But then my question is, I'm wondering is, did you, not that you can fix him or save him, but did you get his information? Like, did you think like, oh, in your head, like, I wonder how I can.
Of course.
Okay, great. Course. So that's the thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like you were just pitying him.
Oh, yeah.
You were feeling empathy and then you were like, now what? And how may I serve?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's amazing.
Yeah.
You're such like a big hearted,
wear
your heart on your sleeve kind of person. You know, have you ever seen those memes that are saying my sensitivity is my superpower?
Yeah.
But I think that's you. So never doubt, like, should I be feeling this or not? And pity is totally different.
I know. I just feel sometimes I'm like, I don't want to other them by, do you know what I mean? I don't want to, this is my brain where it's like, this is literally my fucking brain. Have one emotion, feel something, feel justified in it. And then go the other way and say, oh, but you shouldn't other them. And then go the other way and say, you should send them positive energy. Like, it's literally a laser light show in here about shit like that. So I never know what to do. But I think you're right. I mean, in that situation for him, it's like giving him a listening ear, giving him a compassionate heart, and then tipping him insanely. And
but no, but see, that's great. If you can do that, that's amazing. Yeah.
And listening ear. Chris is a very good listener, and she's very inquisitive, especially in those situations with people you're just meeting as one time or a few times. And so, like, I do think those conversations change people.
I think they're healing.
I've seen them. It happen
because sharing our stories is everything, and you know that.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's actually something. And that's the thing is I always just need to find my thing to come back to. And really it's like knowing that I don't know their story. I don't know everything. And also just like my conversation and my healing heart and my intention could be healing. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the same with me. Mm-hmm. I've had healing when I've been, had compassionate ears or whatever.
I think you can't go wrong when you listen to your heart.
Yeah.
And you know, the biggest thing in my workshop that I say is bear witness. Don't look away. Don't look away. Because there are things, I work
that's
with a lot of women who've lost children.
One.
Well, so that's what I see you as doing. So with that guy, you were bearing witness to a story and then you let it affect you because you're human and that's beautiful. I'm so freaked out by people who don't get affected by, I'm not saying to like fall on the ground and not be able to function, but like to let other humans affect you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
100.
And you know, you can't unlearn things that you learn and see and hear. So it's that's what's so beautiful about our work in the podcasting.
Yeah.
So we're hearing so many stories, experiences, things we should be concerned about and know that are going on in the world. And you cannot unknow that. So it is like this bearing witness. And I think when we get overwhelmed, we're like, well, what can we do?
But I think it is just that. It is a moment by moment thing. It's a choice moment by moment. But
yeah, yeah, and I think it's so made right. You guys better people, 100%. I'm positive, listening to the stories and really hearing them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it rearranges your DNA. It does. It does. You know, when you really let other people in and listen. And I mean, what else do we have in life besides that
truly.
Connection?
That's the damn truth.
Truly.
Yeah, everything's like a roundabout way to get to connection.
I think so, mm-hmm. right?
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's like what just, we all want, isn't yeah. it? To be seen, to be heard.
100.
To be listened to.
100.
So proud of you.
So thank proud you. Of you.
Proud,
you
and proud so to proud. Know you, truly.
I know.
Say it again.
No, you're proud to know you. You're thank a new you. Friend. And I'm just like, we're very grateful.
Yeah.
I'm really grateful to be here and proud of you guys.
Oh,
just proud fest.
You know.
But it's, you know, what you're doing is the same thing I'm doing in my workshops, which is sharing people's stories and listening and telling the truth. That's the only things you need in my workshop is to listen and tell the truth. And I say the same thing for almost 30, right? Just listen and tell the truth and it will change the world.
Damn, that's a yeah. good one. That hit me today.
Thank you.
What'd you say?
That hit me. That's a good one.
What, listen and tell the truth?
Yeah.
Yes.
That's
what we do too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and I'm grateful. Way. The reason I know you, I'm here, is really my best friend, Annie Sertich.
Let's shout out Annie.
Annie!
I love Annie so much.
If anyone listening lives in Los Angeles or can get there, she has an amazing one woman show that's also yes. about being...
I've seen it 7 times and I'm not
I've
lying.
Seen it 5 times. Have you really?
Yep, 7 times.
It's called How Not to Kill Yourself in 30 Days and the next 330.
Yeah, yeah.
330. It's so profoundly moving and...
It truly is.
So, yeah. So where can people pick up the book? Let's tell them about it.
Hopefully this will air before June 4th. So mm-hmm. pre-orders are everything for especially a first-time author, but they're, which I didn't know before I became an author, pre-orders are the most important thing. So you can order on Amazon or Barnes & Noble at or IndieBound, your favorite indie bookstore, on Being Human. Yeah, it's pretty cool. Cheryl Strayed gave it a blurb.
I mean, Glennon
Doyle.
Ah, casual. Come on.
Pink.
Casual.
We should all grab dinner. Don't you think? Should we grab dinner?
Yeah, literally.
All of them.
We're just missing Liz Gilbert.
Yeah, cool. That's fine. Wait. I guess invite her.
Yeah, Liz maybe Brene Brown. Maybe she's free.
Bow down. Liz is my book birthday twin. Hi, Liz. We both have books coming out on June 4th. She has a book coming out called City of Girls. A novel, which is one of the best books I've ever read. Liz, wow. I hope you're listening to this. Tag her in this.
Hi, Liz.
I'm sure she is.
Fucking amazing.
Wow. Heard so everyone else.
We are book birthday twins. But yeah, the book comes out June 4th. I'm having a book tour. The launch will be in Los Angeles, but I do, you know, workshops all around. I'll be in London the day before it comes out. So I'm nuts, basically. But if you could pre-order it, that would be super right. helpful.
Yes.
And the audio book will be out.
Yeah.
Everyone.
We got you. This seems amazing. I'm really excited. I love the way.
Oh, and I brought you guys actually in my bag over there, these little chocolates my publisher made.
In her kitchen?
That's on Being Human. It says, I got you. Oh. So my tagline, like the thing that all my work is about is that sentiment. I got you. I got you. I got you. Which is why I'm really moved by you telling that story about the driver, because it doesn't matter if you're like, quote unquote, know the person. It's that I got you.
Yeah.
As a human to human.
There's just I just am really good at picking up if someone's being authentic about something. And so when it hits me, it really fucking hits me. And if it doesn't, it really fucking doesn't. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, so when I'm hit really hard.
Well, yeah. So I got you.
Like in talking to you, I got you.
Mm-hmm. And I will go eat chocolate.
Yes.
And I will not, even though I wanted so bad to ask you for coffee, I'm really...
No, girl. No, no, no. We're done.
Okay, boss man.
Just kidding. We should try matcha.
Oh, yeah. We got matcha. You don't like matcha?
No, not really.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I like whiskey.
My first shirt of the day.
I like whiskey.
Where can people connect with you?
On Instagram, Jen Pasteloff.
How do you spell Pasteloff?
P as in Peter, A S as in Steve, T I L O F F, like Frank, Pasteloff. And also No Bullshit Motherhood.
Mm-hmm.
And G Power, You Are Enough. And that's really, it started as for young women to remember that they're enough. But I changed it to G because there's a lot of gender nonconforming. So it stands for girl or gender nonconforming.
Nice.
Love that.
But yeah, Jen Pasteloff is my main haunt. And Facebook, Jennifer Pastoloff, Twitter, Jen Pastoloff, but Instagram is the main. And my website is jenniferpastoloff.com.
Beautiful.
Great. Yeah, on Being Human. If you just Google that and my name, it'll pop up. And
the front is beautiful.
Yeah,
and
beautiful
book. Yeah, we're pumped. Pumped to read it. Awesome. Thank you so much for coming. This
Thank
was
you.
A blast.
We love Thank you. You.
We love you. I mean, I love you.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Oh, thank you, Jen. So beautiful.
Yeah, it's always so helpful to, you know, I just really appreciate the insight and information as it relates to someone with hearing loss or hearing problems or someone that is deaf with how to approach the situation. This is a safe space on our podcast to have these conversations. So Lindsay and I ask these questions for you, how to make their lives easier. So I'm glad I was also glad to talk about that with Jen. She is a blast.
Yeah, she's so funny. All right, this week, we have a review of the week, 5 stars, the best, my favorite podcast to listen to by far. Every week I look forward to seeing what the episode is going to be about, no matter what the guest or if it's a solo episode. I always feel there's something relatable to my life at the moment. Krista and Lindsay are hilarious and even their interests bring me happiness. Love starting my day listening to these inspiring women. Thank you so much. That's from Carly Rose.
Thanks,
appreciate
Carly,
you.
Girl.
That means a lot. All right. As y'all heard, we are on tour. So you can find tickets almost30podcast.com/tour. We cannot wait to meet you. It's been so much fun. We're going international this year. We were just in London and we will be in Australia and visiting a bunch of domestic cities as well. So come with friends, come alone, come one, come all.
Yeah. See you guys soon and see you on the next one.
Love you.
Bye.